This is KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara, and this is the Kenai Conversation. On today's episode of the Kenai Conversation, we're airing the final installment in KDLL's 2025 Candidate Forum Series, held in conjunction with the Peninsula Clarion and the Kenai Peninsula League of Women Voters. This forum was held Thursday, September 25th at the Soldotna Public Library. Lenora Neeson is running unopposed for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly's District 3 Nikiski seat, and Michael Hicks is running unopposed for the District 7 Central seat.
We're broadcasting tonight from the Soldotna Public Library. Thank you to the library for the space and for partnering with us to host tonight's forum. And thank you to the League of Women Voters of the Kenai Peninsula for their support tonight. The League of Women Voters is a grassroots organization working to protect and expand voting rights and ensure everyone is represented in the democracy. The League empowers voters through advocacy, education, and litigation at the local, state, and national levels. You can learn more at alaskawv.org. Tonight, we're talking to the two uncontested candidates running for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. Lenora Neeson is running for the District 3 Nikiski seat, and Michael Hicks is running for the District 7 Central seat, which includes the area between Kisilov and Nikolaevsk. Candidates will have 2 minutes to make opening statements. Ashlyn will let you know when you have 1 minute, 30 seconds, and no time left. Then we'll move on to questions which we've generated in advance and solicited from the public. Candidates will have 2 minutes to answer each question and will alternate so you each have the chance to answer first. We'll end with 2 minute closing statements. And so we'll jump right in with opening statements. Lenora, your opening statement, please.
Jason, everyone calls me Len. So you're welcome to do that. I am running for the Nikiski seat, which covers Nikiski, Selamatov, Tayonik, and Beluga. It's a large area to cover. In Nikiski, I've served in several community roles. So I've been on the Nikiski Community Council, where a lot of what I did, besides being treasurer, was to bring factual information to the community about what things were going on. And some of those things included having PFAS in our water, which was kind of a big deal, in a water system in Nikiski. And we had the Puppy Dog Lake Solar Project that was quite controversial in our area, and the tidal energy project, which I still hope will happen. I'm not sure if it's going to. But I also have served on the Nikiski Advisory Planning Commission. It's an appointed position, and I'm the chair of that group, and I'm on the North Road Pioneers, which is a historical preservation group. And was last January elected to the Nikiski Senior Citizens Inc. Board, which is the Nikiski Senior Center. So those are some of my interests, and I have a pretty long business background. I, for 27 years or more, my husband and I owned a company that served all of South Central Alaska, including the Kenai Peninsula. We had 4 locations, and some years ago, we ended up selling that, but before we sold it, we were awarded the SBA Small Business Persons of the Year Award for Alaska, which recognized excellence in management and community outreach. So I have a little bit of business background, and that's what I'm hoping to bring to the assembly seat. I'm hoping to use whatever skills I've gained through those years to be able to help with the budget, with getting services done, and so on. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, sorry. Hold on, 1 minute, sorry. Whoops. All right, Michael, go ahead, your opening statement.
Thank you. My name is Michael Hicks. I'm 61 years old. I spent 3 years in the Army, 6 years Marine Corps, before moving out to Alaska. Moved out here in 95 with my wife and 3 children, and worked for the Kenai Peninsula Borough as a programmer analyst. And that was up till 02. In 1998, there overlap there, we pioneered New Life Christian Fellowship out in Kisilov, and I've been a pastor out there, senior pastor, for the last 28 years. I have not been a political creature. as you would, you know, as you would call it, aware of things and keep up on things. But my focus has been the community and individuals and families, and that has been my focus. It wasn't my intent to run for the assembly, but I was asked several times. Actually, the first time I just said no. Month later, asked again, approached and asked, and again, no. And the third time, third time, just a couple weeks before the deadline, again, my answer was no. My focus was in other places. And I just, from a Christian perspective, I sensed the Lord saying, did you ask? And so I spent some time in prayer and just kind of, and sensed that the Lord would say to me, you know, don't be afraid to go through this door. So here I am. And lo and behold, there's nobody else running. So that's me. Thank you.
Thank you both. We'll now move on to the question portion of the forum. And our first question, we're going to start with Michael this time. The Borough Assembly this year has discussed multiple ways to reduce the tax burden on property owners. How should the borough minimize that burden while maintaining a high level of service? And again, you'll have 2 minutes.
I don't know that the focus needs to be on high level of service, and that may not be a popular thing to say, but the primary responsibility for government, as we're talking about just a while ago, is provide law enforcement, to provide infrastructure, and to provide education for our children. Beyond that, we have to prioritize and live within our budget. I believe strongly we need to live within our budget. Families have to do it. We all have to do it. And I think it's irresponsible when the government doesn't do that. So there's prioritizing what does the greatest benefit for the most, what is most needed, and we can't do everything. So I'm a fiscal conservative. I believe we need to live within our means. That being said, also look forward and do as much as we can do responsibly.
Thank you. Len, same question to you. One more thing. Don't be afraid to get real close to the microphones.
Okay.
Thank you.
In our business, we used to say the important thing is to keep the intake ahead of the exhaust. And so, you know, it's just twofold. You have to look at the budget and see what reasonable cuts can be made. And I think that I'm fortunate because the current administration really has been doing that. And I think they've done pretty well at keeping things down. And the other factor, of course, is to have the income control. And so I actually supported the 5% cap on valuation increases because I thought that was a good way to address that situation for people who need to budget their taxes, because it gives you some idea of what the maximum is that you would have to budget that year. And without that, you just don't know. I've seen people have enormous increases from year to year in the valuation, and keeping the mill rate down doesn't help those people. So those are the two ways that I can see right off the bat that we would want to look at that. And I think the third leg of that is keeping the government staying in its lane. So I've seen some ordinances come out that were proposed that I think would have gone outside the purview of the borough. One of them was a child care situation a year ago, I guess it was. And I thought that was a little bit outside of what the borough should be addressing, even though I understand the need for it. So that's the other part of that for me. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys both already mentioned the budget a little bit, but among the tasks the Assembly has to complete each year is approval of the borough's annual budget. When you look at the borough's spending plan for the current fiscal year, are there areas where you think the borough is spending too much money, or are there areas where you think the borough isn't spending enough? And we're sticking with you, Lynn.
I think the borough is doing pretty well right now. And as I say, I think the current administration has the will to keep the rates down. And I think that's really helpful. I believe that they're looking at everything possible to try to keep those rates down. So I think we're in a really good place, and I can't complain about it too much. I just want to carry on with that and support it. I probably would not have chosen to fund the school budget to the cap. I would probably stayed shy of that. And and looking back on it, I see why they did it. I understand the reasoning. But once the state came back with a BSA increase, I think that sort of answered some of that need, and they could have held back a little. And then they ended up with a problem with one of the pools that they really wanted. They had the will to keep open, but didn't have any funding to put at it. So they ended up having to negotiate with the school district about getting it done. So those are all things that just have to be considered. And that's probably the direction I would go.
Thanks, Len. Michael.
Yeah, can you repeat that question again?
Yeah, the tasks the assembly has to complete each year is approval of the borough's annual budget. When you look at the borough's spending plan for this year, are there areas where you think the borough is spending too much or not enough?
Well, I'll admit right up front, I haven't seen the budget, and I'm not overly familiar with that. Having said that, I don't think it would be fair to comment much on it. I'm not aware of any glaring issues out there. But again, I'm coming on to this, like I say, not being a political creature that's been heavily involved in that. I am looking forward to hearing all the details, finding out the facts, asking the questions, and just coming up to speed on that. And as that, I look forward to being part of the assembly, part of a 9-member crew that would gather all that and ask the appropriate questions and hear each other out as far as perspectives and move forward from that.
All right, Michael, we're going to stick with you. And we've already talked a little bit about this, but one of the biggest decisions the borough assembly makes each year is how much money to give the school district. And I guess in Lynn's case, we're just going to give you more time to talk about that. But what's your philosophy for determining what our local school district should get in financial resources from the borough?
So again, that's one of the primary responsibilities of local government. I think we do a lot of things that are outside of that, but we should take care of our primary responsibilities. That being said, I've heard some other situations where people were asked, candidates were asked, will you commit to fully funding? And I would say absolutely, absolutely not. I will not commit to. Because we're coming into a situation where we're going to work with a team of 9 people. We're going to find out the facts as they exist, and they are constantly changing, fluxing, whatnot, different needs come up. And I think it would be irresponsible to commit to an action before I've spoken to the other 8, before I've learned the facts, before we've asked the questions, before we found out, what are my concern, particularly some of the things I would ask is, we're looking at funding to the max of school district. How does that affect alternative schools? How does that affect homeschooling in the area that I represent and also Len here? It's very rural. We've got a lot of homeschoolers. We've got a lot of alternative, Aurora Borealis, Abtech at the higher level. Are we giving them equal attention? Are we doing due diligence by them also? And not just throwing all of our eggs in one basket. We need to be able to do all of it. So, again, no commitment until, because I commit, my commitment is to work with the other 8 members. And I cannot do that if I've already made commitments to other people as to what my final answer is, regardless of what they say or what comes up. So.
Thank you. Len, same question.
And I can repeat it if you'd like.
Please.
Okay.
One of the biggest budget decisions assembly members make each year is how much money to give the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, which almost always requests the maximum allowable. What is your philosophy for determining local school funding?
My philosophy on just about everything is gather all of the facts that you can and make a reasonable decision based on those facts. So that's the answer to all of the rest of your questions tonight. So that's what I would do in the school budget situation. I understand why they made the decision they did this year, as I said. In retrospect, I think even some of them wished that they had some extra funding to help Seldovia and I think it was Manilchik with their pool situation. And it's a shame that they couldn't have come up with something for that. So they ended up basically asking the school district to fund it after they got their BSA increase. So I guess it all worked out in the end, but I think you have to be a little bit reserved on those things. And I am a fiscal conservative, so I'll tend to roll toward being very careful with spending that money.
You're listening to KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. This is the Kenai Conversation. We're airing the final installment of our 2025 Candidate Forum series. On this episode, we hear from the two unopposed Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly candidates, Lenora Neeson for the Nikiski District and Michael Hicks for the Central District.
Anticipated closures of school pools due to budget cuts. Some peninsula communities, including Nanilchik and Michael's district, are considering new recreation service areas to pick up the tab. Do you support shifting recreation costs directly to residents, Len?
In the Kiski, we have a recreation service area. So I can say firsthand that it works. And I'm a big fan of recreation service areas in an area. What I'm not a big fan of is making it a borough-wide recreation service area. Because inevitably, one area feels shortchanged while the other one gets something. And so you end up with a sense of disunity. You just don't have the unity that you should have in that situation. And I feel like especially unincorporated communities have an opportunity there to decide for themselves if they want to fund it and how much they want to put toward it. We have an excellent service area that way, and we have some wonderful things that come out of it. People come from Anchorage to go to our pool, and we're just very fortunate that way, just really blessed. But if we didn't have our rec service area, we wouldn't be self-determining in that way, and somebody might have closed it by now. So I support that very much.
Thank you, Michael.
I like Lynn's answer. I think people want to have a say in what they get and what they pay for. People are not looking for somebody on high to say, you're going to have to pay these taxes, those taxes, the other, we're just going to add them to you. They want to have a say in it. I do agree. I do believe as a fiscal conservative that what we want, we need to pay for. We shouldn't be expecting our neighbor to pay for things or reaching into our neighbor's pocket to pay for the things that we want if we're not willing to sacrifice ourselves. So, that being said, the question is, do the people of the community want that thing bad enough to sacrifice for it? So those kind of questions I think should be put back to the people and give them the say as to what they want to do, what's important to them, and how much they're willing to sacrifice for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we're going to stick with you for this next one. State data show more people are leaving Alaska each year than are moving in, but the Kenai Peninsula is one of the only regions with a growing population. What can assembly members be doing to continue this trend?
To continue the trend of the Kenai Peninsula, there's a flux. When oil gets real busy, we have an influx of people coming in because of the opportunity. Again, I represent a rural area, and I believe the rural area, most of the people out here, not in the towns, and nothing against them, but I think there's a little bit different mindset. I think they enjoy the peace in the rural setting. They what you'll hear every summer is people complaining about the 50,000 coming down from Anchorage and the rest of the state or other places, and how they can't even fish their own rivers. I've seen where the assembly and others have thrown a great deal of money into advertisements far and wide to bring those numbers and even increase those numbers. And I don't know that they actually do entirely a good service to those that are living here. We can have too much. I like that. I like to be able to keep something that that kind of keeps things even, or growth is slow enough that that we can plan the growth and do it wisely. I love what they've done with the Soldotna Park. You know, I think that was a wonderful investment, and it's paying off well, and the community is enjoying it. But we can make growth like that, little decisions that make big impact, rather than having this huge explosive growth that we're always pushing for. And I think sometimes it does more harm than good. So how do we keep from going downhill? I'm not sure of all the ramifications of that question. So, but again, I don't believe growth at any cost is the wise thing.
Thank you. Lenora, same question, and I can repeat it if you'd like. Okay. State data show more people are leaving Alaska each year than are moving in, but the Kenai Peninsula is one of the only regions with a growing population. What can assembly members be doing to continue this trend?
There's a limit to what assembly members can do to continue that trend, I think. But of course, Nikiski houses the industrial sector, if you will. And my intention would be to support that sector as much as possible. And I think doing that entails making sure that your taxes stay reasonable for people who live there. I think we could use more housing that's affordable for people. Our housing costs are really high where I am. And there are not many houses for growing families. So I think that is a challenge that I'd like to find a solution to. But creating ordinances and keeping in mind whether you're being business friendly and industry friendly in those ordinances, I think is probably the single biggest thing that we could do. And I think I have an idea of how to observe that, because I've been in business and I've seen how government can be a challenge if they get too heavy-handed. So I think probably one of my jobs is to kind of try to restrain that and be business-friendly.
Thanks. Building on the last question, the same state data shows that the average age of the Kenai Peninsula resident is trending upwards. What should the borough be doing to attract young families to our area?
Lynn. Oh, boy. Jobs. You know, in the Nikiski, we are always talking about the LNG project, and I do hope that it comes. But I say that guardedly, because yes, it will bring in young families, I'm sure of that, and it will be a great thing. But the impact to our community will be probably more significant than most areas on the peninsula. So I have a little bit of trepidation about that. And I think that what people want from me is for me to help with the management of that one, if and when it comes along, if I'm still in office, and so I'll do that. But jobs are just really the number one way that we can support young families and help them. Older people get tax breaks. We could consider a tax break, but then you're just shifting the burden to another group. So I think that's that would be a challenge in itself. And if anyone has any great ideas, I'm definitely open-minded to that.
Thank you. Michael, what should the borough be doing to attract young families?
Yes, that is the two things that come into play is education opportunity and work. Young people have to go where the work is. They're starting off from scratch, got to make a name for themselves. You know, I worked in the industry, computer tech industry, for 20 years before I could realize my dream of going to Alaska. And the thing we always said was, you know, you go where you have to, and until you can go where you want to. And so we need to, yeah, I think we're already a place where people want to come, but they have to have the opportunity. And that comes down to jobs. It comes down to jobs and education. Apart from that, I'm not sure what we can do other than Lynn raised the question of affordable housing. Our housing has gone up quite a bit, but a lot of that's because we're an attractive place to be. And where there's demand, lots of people want to come in, then it drives the prices up. However, we've got a large retirement community that have waited their lifetime to come to this place. And so that creates competition for land. It creates competition for housing. So how do we make that affordable for our kids? How do we make it to where our kids can stay and have a future? Education and jobs. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. The Assembly this year has considered and nearly added to this year's ballot a proposition to modify the borough's sales tax to a seasonal model, 2% in the winter and 4% in the summer. Where do you stand on that proposal? And Michael, we're sticking with you.
Okay. I like that proposal. What it does is it shifts a little bit of the financial burden onto all those that are coming down. So they kind of share that while they're here. And then back when everybody leaves and it's just the local families and stuff, they bring that tax burden down as low as possible. You still have to have something. But I do like that model. We've got, again, the supply and demand. We've got a huge amount of people that are coming here. I don't see that 4% is going to cut that number significantly. And at this point, I kind of wonder if the amount of tourism we have isn't actually a little bit detrimental. Again, I hear a lot of people complaining about, we've got the Kasiloff, we've got the Kenai River, and I can't fish it because it's too crowded. There's too many people. We've got set netters that have been in generational for families, generational that are just being pushed out of it because there's so much pressure on those resources. Again, a lot of it because of how many people are here to take advantage of those resources. Not saying that that's a bad thing, but I'm thinking we've got enough people that want to come that raising that tax rate a little bit to take advantage of some of that is not going to hurt that at this point. But that's my perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Lenora, same question.
That is an interesting issue, and I haven't landed on it at this point. On its face, it sounds like a really good idea because theoretically you would allow tourism to bear a little bit more burden than the people who stick it out through the winter. But I'm not sure it would pan out that way. And I've asked for information on that, and I actually tried to play it out myself on an Excel spreadsheet and see if it would pan out. And it came out fairly even. It didn't seem to be a huge advantage one way or the other. So I'm not, because the problem is in the summertime, we do stuff. I mean, Alaskans get out and do things in the summertime and we're spending money too. And we're gearing up for winter. So it would hit those 6 months where we're actually getting ready for winter and spending maybe some extra money to finish projects or building houses or, you know, whatever the thing may be that we're interested in, we are out spending money. So I'm not convinced that it's going to be a big advantage. But I'm still waiting for actual facts to back up the idea that it would. And I'm open-minded to it. If that's what people want, I'm certainly going to listen to constituents on that.
You're listening to KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. This is the Kenai Conversation. We're airing the final installment of our 2025 Candidate Forum series. On this episode, we hear from the two unopposed Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly candidates, Lenora Neeson for the Nikiski District and Michael Hicks for the Central District.
Thank you. More than 10 cents of every dollar in the borough's general fund pays for solid waste services. As the borough brainstorms ways to restructure its approach to its landfills and transfer centers, what should it prioritize in 2 minutes? Len?
Kind of in a blank on that one. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah. More than 10 cents of every dollar in the borough's general fund pays for solid waste services. As the borough is currently brainstorming ways to restructure its approach to its landfills and transfer centers through things like the recent failure of the recycling baler, what should the borough prioritize?
I think they're on the right track right now. I can't see where what we're doing right now is really failing particularly. I think the administration has had a pretty good approach to it. But I do like the idea of recycling. I think Nikiski really embraced that at our local landfill, our transfer station. So I'd love to see that recycling start back up again and see that get back on track. But I think we just have to really prioritize the fiscal impact of all of that. And so that would be the direction I would head with it.
Thank you. Michael.
Yeah, I've actually got a thought on that that I'd love to see. We look into it just a little bit. My father was involved as a boilermaker, building boilers. They did four of them in Hawaii. I believe it's four or five in Hawaii. Just as a real quick, give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Hawaii used to have to take all of their waste, put it on barges, ship it to the United States to be disposed of. Huge expense. And they were also had a transit line across the ocean for most of their power. And what he had done, and this was 30 years ago, and there's actually quite a few plants, but I don't hear much talk about it. Throughout the United States, Turkey, he was over there. They build these plants and they burn the waste, and the plants, it's at the tower, and they're self-cleaning. So all of the waste, that all of the smoke that goes up gets cleaned, gets washed down, actually gets turned into fertilizer. And Hawaii, when they got done, they were expecting 12 to 15 years to pay off the project. It was paid off in 4 years because they provided all their power and were shipping power back to the United States rather than buying it. They were, and that was from burning their own waste. And Phillips Petroleum at that time had developed an organism that would eat the plastics and break it down, then die these microorganisms, and it created a fertilizer product that they sold as a byproduct. I would love to see that we might look into that. Just from this was, I was just a little boy when my father was doing that, but there didn't seem to be a downside. And but that would be a way of producing electricity for the borough, without using a bunch of natural gas and oil and everything else. So I don't know. It's something to look into.
Thank you. And Michael, we're staying with you for this next one. If elected to the borough assembly, which, you know, your odds are pretty good given this is an uncontested race, what is the first ordinance or resolution you might be interested in sponsoring?
I don't have one. I'm aware of some of the things that are of concern in relation to the courts. And I'm curious as to where that's going, and I would like to see it actually go somewhere and not just get kicked down the road or buried. I don't know what if anything the assembly would have to say towards that. But again, I've not been a political creature, so I'm mainly looking at coming in as a team member and listening, gathering information, listening to people's perspectives, bringing my own, and then making the best decision for the people at large.
Thank you. Lenora, any ordinances, resolutions you'd want to sponsor?
I am pretty much agenda free. You know, I think that's kind of the nature of the last minute signups that both of us did. You're seeing that no one's stepping up to the plate. So you just see it as a civic responsibility to do it and use whatever skills you have to meet the need. That said, I've already mentioned one that I would be happy to sign on to, but I'm pretty sure that the mayor would be the one who would propose it. And that's the 5%. If he comes back with that again, the 5% valuation increase restraint, I would sign on to that one right off.
Thanks. As utility customers in South Central are facing a shortage of natural gas, do you think the borough should support development of new energy sources, Len?
New energy sources. I'd love to see new energy sources, of course. In Nikiski, we had the solar project that almost came our way. And there were really mixed reviews about that. I think everybody wanted it, but they didn't want it in their backyard. So the problem with solar projects, of course, is that they cut down a lot of trees and put up things that are not as attractive as trees. And, you know, you get something from it, but the question was always, how much do you get from it compared to what you feel like you're giving up? But yeah, if there are new energy sources that will not impact us badly, I'd love to see the tidal project come back. I'm not sure if it's actually gone. I haven't been in touch with them lately, but I thought that had a lot of potential. And I think we've been talking about it for 4 years since I've, you know, been young, since I was young. But I would support whatever energy options came our way, as long as it didn't have a negative impact to the citizens of the area.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes, the tidal thing they've been talking about, that, you know, that sounds very interesting, and I'd love to see that develop more. On the wind farms and solar, I mean, we don't have the climate of Arizona. But at the same time, you read of all these new developments they're making where they're actually generating power even from the dark. And that's intriguing, but it may still be decades off of development. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think there's still a lot of room for developing the natural gas resources that we have here. They're relatively clean. They can be inexpensive. We've got projects that have been stomped on by federal government, switching back and forth and what have you. I'm hopeful that with the leadership that we have there, that things are going to, I'd like to see things not just start to open up, but actually stay open. We've had a situation where we flip-flop so much as a nation that a lot of the big producers that are required to develop it are just not willing to work with us. I mean, we're almost as risky as third world nations because our leadership changes so drastically and can't be counted for the word that they give during one administration into the next. And so I'm not sure how Alaska as a state overcomes that. And I'm not sure that the assembly is really in the position to to affect that to a great level. But to the extent that we can, I'd love to see what we have developed. So, thank you.
Thank you. This election, voters will decide whether the borough will hand count local election results. How are you going to vote on that proposition and why? And Michael, we're back with you.
Okay. Back to, will you commit to a position before you hear all that? Yeah. Okay. So my same answer, I won't commit to a position. However, my perspective on that at this time is that I would support, and again, at this time, without hearing any of the other, any reasons why that wouldn't work or anything else, I would support going to hand counting ballots. I think we've got a lot of people that are concerned about about our system. And whether that's valid or not, there is a great deal of concern, and I think it's important that our constituencies trust the system that we have. And so to that extent, we did hand counting for years and years, decades, forever, and there was not a problem. Whenever you get computers involved in things, there's, you know, there's a potential for playing around with things. It's just how computers are. So even if you come back and say, well, that can't really happen, the trust is an issue. And I think for that alone, yes, I would support going back to hand ballots, at least until our political systems come to a place where people have got a little more trust.
All right, Lenora, this election, voters will decide whether the borough should hand count local election results. How are you going to vote on that proposition and why?
Well, we have secret ballots for a reason, so I don't know if I need to tell you exactly how I'll vote. But, you know, in the interest of transparency, I will tell you. it's on the ballot, and I think it's an important question for people. And I'm going to be really interested to see how it floats out. I've looked at it both ways because I work elections. I've been on that team that's sitting there trying to balance everything at the end of the night and comes up one vote off, and you're trying to figure it all out. So I think about that part of it. But on the other hand, this is a citizen initiative, and some people put a lot of work into bringing this thing forward and trying to figure out how to best word it and get all the signatures that it takes to do it. And in my opinion, it deserves a chance, because if it does increase the trust that people have in our election system, it's worth it. So my intention is to vote for it.
Sticking with Len, how can the borough better support local business development?
Well, I think I've already said that, actually. When we do ordinances, we really have to keep in mind the impact on businesses. And that's not just the industry sector, like the oil and gas sector, like we have out in our area heavily. But we have guide services, and we have bed and breakfasts, and we have, daycares, and a lot of different types of businesses. And sometimes, for example, the changing of the sales tax from winter to summer, someone has to change that in some computer system somewhere in every single business so that it changes back and forth from winter to summer. And it's a little bit arduous. And when you come to those edges of the season when it's going to change, you've got to keep track of it from before that date and after that date. And I've seen it from the angle of a large business, and I've seen it from a larger business. We had nearly 50 employees, so I've seen it from that angle. And I've seen it from my son's business, which is a very small business. And from that angle, it's a lot more work. When you're a small business, it's a lot more work to make those changes and make sure you're accurate so that you're reporting accurately to the borough. So I am that looking at ordinances from that angle is what I would intend to do.
Thank you. Michael.
Right. So I've had a couple of businesses. We owned an oyster farm out of Ketchumek Bay, which we just sold this last year. Also was the owner of Grandpa's, just fertilizer worm castings, agricultural type business. And we delivered all the way up to Fairbanks throughout Alaska. I think for small business, we're on a pretty good track. Things are pretty simple, not real burdensome. The oyster part where you're dealing with federal government was far more burdensome. But I think I'd like to try to keep it that way. Let's keep government local, and as much as possible, act when we can make things easier or simpler for people, and resist acting where we make things more complicated and burdensome. Again, I think that as far as the small business side, it's pretty straightforward, and you've got a lot less strings attached than you do other states, Oregon, Washington, what have you. I'd like to just keep it that way. So, thank you.
You're listening to KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. This is the Kenai Conversation. We're airing the final installment of our 2025 Candidate Forum series. On this episode, we hear from the two unopposed Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly candidates, Lenora Neeson for the Nikiski District and Michael Hicks for the Central District.
How often do you presently attend Borough Assembly meetings?
Zero. I assume you were talking to me. But
yes. You get the full 2 minutes if you want it.
That's about all it takes, yeah.
Okay. Lenora, same question.
I have long been watching online more than going to them, because it is quite a drive from Nikiski to Soldotna to go to the meetings, and they can go really late. So I find it much more convenient to look at it online. But since I signed up, since August, I have been attending not only the borough assembly meetings, but also the committee meetings. And it has been extremely educational to go to the committee meetings, which I hadn't been really observing before. So I think that has been really educational, and I would advise that people do it and attend the committee meetings, because you see a lot of what goes on in the background from that angle. So there's your answer. I have been going more recently in person, but I always have attended remotely.
Thanks. What do you view as the greatest challenges facing the borough?
It's always money. Is it ever not money? I mean, I think that the questions you've been asking have pretty much revolved around money. How can we increase business? How can we get, you know, younger people to come to our area? How can we keep taxes down while keeping services adequate? How can we do these things? I think that is, you know, everything that you've been asking is just the core of the issues that people are interested in. People want good road service. How are we going to pay for that? They want their roads that are substandard, upgraded. How are we going to help them get that done so they can be in the borough service areas? And there are just a lot of questions, but they all really revolve around the financial aspect of it. So that's what I consider the challenge.
Thanks, Michael.
I would say that the development of our resources as far as jobs go, but also responsible and controlled growth. You know, it's everybody, we want our friends, we want our family to come up and join us and live in, you know, God's country that we enjoy. But at the same time, if we grow so quickly that we can't responsibly control it, I'm afraid we could lose that. And so taking responsibility to have growth enough to sustain things and to be able to build wisely without expanding so quickly that we lose control of that and lose the peace of heaven that we have.
The Kenai Peninsula Borough covers a very large geographic area, and when elected, I say when, you'll represent just one portion of that. How will you work to make sure to ensure that voices from all around the peninsula are considered when you're making decisions? And Michael, we're sticking with you.
So I'm representing one part, which is a little more rural than perhaps the rest of the borough. And yet at the same time, as the borough flourishes, my section will flourish. And my section will be done no favors if the rest of the borough suffers. And so just like we do with our country, you know, we should be making decisions on what's the best interest of the country, not just me. Not just, you know, we do that with states, you know, we get these different things and we get upset about all the pork things going out to this state and that state and everything else. But when it comes to us, we want everything we can get. And that's not a good perspective. That's not a perspective that says what's the best for the country as a whole. And we need to be doing that even as assembly members. We're representing 9 different districts. And yet we need to understand that if the whole prospers, then mine prospers. And if I'm trying to get something just for me, but it causes the whole to suffer, then I'm not doing any favors by those that I'm serving. And so a little bit of civic responsibility goes a long ways. As it was said long ago, you know, don't ask what my country can do for me, but what I can do for my country. I think that mindset goes a long ways all the way down to the micro, from the macro to the micro. So yeah, I think we should make decisions on what's best for the whole.
Thank you. Lenora, same question.
So how to represent everyone? I think that it is a challenge because I'm in a large district and it's going to be hard to represent everyone in my district adequately, really. There are distinctly different communities in my district that all have different concerns. But on the other hand, we have a representative assembly. And I think each person in that assembly, and I've been watching this happen, each person brings his concerns from his own area. And I have to listen to that and make sure that I'm observing what's good for the borough as a whole, for everyone, and not just what's good for Nikiski, Salamatoff, Tionic, and Beluga. You know, I think the listening angle is probably the best, and just having the conversations with those representatives. And of course, being open to hearing from anyone in the borough about what their concerns are, and I will be.
Thank you. This is going to be our last question tonight. You made it through. How would you weigh community feedback when considering controversial topics?
I thought I just said that.
You said some of this.
Community feedback. You have to listen to it, and you have to be open to that. I've created a Facebook page, so people who are on Facebook are going to be able to find me pretty easily and communicate with me. But my phone number is out there, and that's my cell phone. So people are going to find me and talk to me, and I'm going to be listening to people. I've already spent many hours on the phone with people who have individual concerns. And those are the concerns of everyone, but they do weigh on me. I feel like I want to help people to handle the things that they're really concerned about, and that's just not, because of my nature, ever going to be just narrowed down to the area where I live. But I do care deeply about the area where I live. So as their representative, I'm going to weigh heavily on what they want from me and yet not eliminate the conversation with what other people want if it differs.
Thank you. Michael.
Right. So controversial. Yeah. Controversial topics can get rather heated and emotional, all of those. I think we still need to keep our principles in mind. We value freedom. We value independence. And sometimes we can lose sight of that when we want what we want. But somebody else's independence is just as important as mine. And we need to respect one another. I think in everybody that's going to bring up an issue, that's going to have a perspective and stuff, I need to respect them as a person, treat them with dignity, listen to them, try to, with the intent of understanding them. And then I can bring forth other perspectives that I've heard, or even my own perspective. And rather than bringing it as a rebuttal, rather as a question. Well, okay, so what do you say to the one that has this perspective? You know, and how do we do it? How do we navigate that in a way that respects both you and my neighbor? And so that's an issue of communication, and which we all work at. And the better we do it, the better we are. But yeah, I don't know any shortcuts to that. Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to closing statements now. And Michael, we'll start with you for this one. And again, you'll have 2 minutes.
Okay. Again, I've not been a political creature. However, even as Lynn said, I'm getting to the age where I tell my wife I'm getting used to this term of aging out. Aging out of a lot of things that I did in my youth, laborious. But at the same time, that gives me opportunity to turn to some of the things that I didn't have time for. And some of that is serving my community in more ways and in varied ways. I've served for 30 years as a pastor, longer than that, because we served in youth ministry before that while I was in the military. And in that way, serving my community. But I think there's value in finding ways to serve the community that are starkly different, and political realm would be that, starkly different than religious. And I think it's healthy for me. I think it's healthy as a community that we not just be tunnel vision in our own little area, but get input from varied parts of our community, and allow that to shape us, allow that to inform us. Yeah, so anyhow, thank you.
Thank you. Lenora, closing statement.
Well, first I want to thank you for having this forum. I listen to it every time I'm voting. I think it's very interesting when you have it, and I can hear from the individual candidates and hear their answers. And You know, to be fair, I'm always sitting in that audience thinking to myself, well, I would have answered that this way. But I'm going to tell you, being on this side of the table was a lot harder. But I haven't run a business for as long as I did without running into a lot of challenges. And I feel like this is another challenge. And my MO is just to take a deep breath and take a step forward and work at it as hard as I can and put my whole self into it. I'm not taking, even though I'm running unopposed, I'm not taking those votes for granted. I don't know how many I'll get. I'm not even sure we'll have a good turnout because we have a lot of unopposed seats. I'm hoping people will show up for the ballot initiatives because there are five of them, well, four in our area, five total, and they're very important. So I'll just put a plug in for those and say, read those and look at them pretty hard and vote on those because they're important to some people. And I would ask for your vote, and I will tell you that I'll work very hard for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. And that's going to bring us to the end of our Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly Forum. Thank you so much to the Nikiski candidate, Lynn O'Neason, and Central candidate, Michael Hicks, for joining us. As a reminder, this is the final forum in KDLL's 2025 Candidate Forum Series, but you can join me and the Peninsula Clarion and KBBI for one last forum on Monday in the Seward Community Library with candidates for Seward City Council. You can re-listen to this hour on kdll.org and radiokina.com, or you can read a condensed version in next week's edition of the Peninsula Clarion. Election day is October 7. You can find more information and written bios from the candidates on the Kenai Peninsula Borough's election webpage, where you can also find more information about those ballot initiatives. Thank you all for participating and have a good night.
And that's all for this week's Kenai Conversation. Thanks again to participants Lenora Neeson for the Nikiski District and Michael Hicks for the Central District for participating. And a big thank you to the Peninsula Clarion's Jake Dye for helping moderate, and to the Kenai Peninsula League of Women Voters for their support. As a reminder, Election Day is next Tuesday, October 7th. You can hear the Kenai Conversation every week on Wednesday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 5 p.m. here on KDLL, or you can find the show on our website at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for listening.